Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
tensions between the U.S. and China flare ahead of tomorrow's trade talks.
The White House slaps sanctions on Venezuela, blocking crude exports to the U.S.
California utility PG&E files for bankruptcy with more than $50 billion in debt.
And Apple leads three dozen companies reporting earnings.
The acting attorney general says he thinks the Mueller probe is close to being completed, plus President Trump confidant Roger Stone is set to appear in court today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Road losses for the Knicks and Nets. The Devils won in Atlanta. The Patriots and Rams met the Super Bowl media.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And we're seeing a mixed picture across global stock markets this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down almost 2 points right now. Dow futures down 8, NASDAQ futures down 13. The DAX in Germany is little changed. CAC in Paris up 0.6%. The FTSE 100 up 1.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained almost 0.1%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.74%, yield on the 2-year 2.58%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 46 cents to $52.45 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.80 to $13.13 an ounce. The euro $1.1439 and the yen 109.43. Nathan.
Karen, tensions are flaring between the U.S. and China ahead of this week's trade talks, with Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker announcing charges against Chinese smartphone maker Huawei.
The grand jury in Seattle has returned an indictment that alleges 10 federal crimes by two affiliates of telecommunications corporation Huawei Technologies.
Here with more on the charges, Bloomberg Technology correspondent Selena Wang.
This investigation has been going on for years, and this covers quite a few areas. So one area is this IP theft issue, allegations that they stole intellectual property from T-Mobile. Another part of it is the arrest of CFO Min Wanzhou, and she was arrested several months ago, and they're charging that she was conspiring to commit bank fraud to root deals with Iran, breaking U.S. sanctions against Iran.
The two cases against Huawei come as U.S. and Chinese officials meet tomorrow for trade talks.
The U.S. is also making a bold move against Venezuela.
Today, Treasury took action against Venezuela's state-owned oil company, PDVSA, to help prevent the further diversion of Venezuela's assets by former President Maduro.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin issuing new sanctions that effectively block Venezuela from exporting crude to the U.S. That prompted Maduro to address the White House directly in a state TV address, telling President Trump to keep his hands off Venezuela.
Ham off Venezuela. Donald Trump, hands off Venezuela.
The oil market is largely shrugging off the sanctions, though. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8%. It's at $52.42 a barrel.
In the UK today, Prime Minister Theresa May faces two key votes on Brexit. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the details on that. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Well, one amendment seeks to put Brexit on hold, which the opposition Labour Party plans to back. The other is an attempt to unite May's Conservative Party behind a plan to rewrite the most toxic part of the divorce deal, the Irish backstop. And this one has the Prime Minister's backing. Meanwhile, the Telegraph newspaper reports that Tories on both sides of the Brexit divide have a secret compromise they believe could reunite the Conservative Party and ensure Britain's orderly departure from Europe. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. Back here in the U.S., PG&E has made it official, filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. California's biggest power company lists $51.7 billion in total debt. PG&E Interim CEO John Simon tells customers the power and gas will stay on as the utility enters Chapter 11 bankruptcy. PG&E's demise underscores the vulnerability utilities face to natural disasters such as wildfires and hurricanes that are becoming more extreme. Yeah, that's especially the case in California, where state law holds utilities liable for damages even if they aren't found to be negligent. Shares of PG&E are down more than 10% at the pre-market. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Shares of Norwegian Air fell by the most on record today, and after an emergency stock sale, the airline raised $350 million to avoid breaching financial covenants and says it's now open to new takeover approaches after British Airways abandoned its bid for the company. Norwegian shares now down nearly 11% in Oslo.
Europe's biggest software company is out with earnings that fell short of expectations, while SAP beat estimates for total sales. Growth in new cloud bookings slowed in the fourth quarter. That is shares of SAP down 2% in Frankfurt.
Up next on the earnings front, results from three dozen companies in the S&P 500, including Apple. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Analysts adjusted their forecast for Apple after the company lowered its fiscal first quarter guidance earlier this month. They are now looking for the iPhone maker to post a profit of $4.17 a share on revenue of nearly $84 billion. As impressive as that sounds, it would still be down about 5% from the prior first quarter because of weak iPhone sales and softness in China. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. We had earnings shocks from Caterpillar and NVIDIA, and more could be on the way, according to Wells Capital Management Senior Portfolio Manager Margie Patel.
We can see that the sudden slowdown is really impacting globally countries and also, I'd say, just about every industry. So I would expect more disappointments as we plow through earnings season.
After a robust start to the year for stocks, earnings season has so far been mixed. Caterpillar and NVIDIA yesterday blamed slowing global growth for disappointing results. Futures this morning are lower, with S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 14, NASDAQ futures also down 14, and the 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.73%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 607 on Wall Street. Yeah, let's find out what's going on in the world from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump's longtime confidant, Roger Stone, is due in court today following his arrest on charges of lying to Congress and obstruction. Stone is accused of lying when he claimed he never sought out WikiLeaks dirt. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
In Roger Stone's case, the charges of that indictment have literally nothing to do with the president and have to do with his communications with Congress.
Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker said that he thinks Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation is close to being completed. At a news conference, Whitaker said that he has been fully briefed on the investigation. Later this morning, the Senate Judiciary Committee will debate and possibly vote on William Barr's nomination as the next Attorney General. Michael Cohen, President Donald Trump's former lawyer and fixer, has agreed to testify privately next week before the House Intelligence Committee. That's according to the panel's chairman, Adam Schiff. Cohen previously backed out of a different panel's public hearing. The sentencing of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has been delayed indefinitely. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons has the latest from Washington.
This involves a Virginia case in which Paul Manafort was convicted of bank and tax fraud. Sentencing was set for February 8th, but because of unresolved issues in a separate case in Washington, the federal judge decided to wait until those issues are resolved, saying it is prudent and appropriate to delay sentencing. Prosecutors in Washington have accused Manafort of breaching the cooperation agreement he reached with them to avoid a second trial. A ruling on that is expected February 4th. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Five Houston police officers have been injured while trying to serve a warrant in a narcotics investigation. Two of the officers are in critical but stable condition. Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo.
And let me tell you why I think these cops are heroes. This officer's been shot several times in line of duty. And while most people would call it a day after being shot and surviving, this man is 54 years old. He's the case agent on this case, and he was there in the front lines.
Acevedo says the two suspects were fatally shot during the gun battle. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter.
Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries, I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Knicks losing streak reached double figures in Charlotte. As usual, the Knicks had their moments. They led the Hornets in the second half. The game was tied going into the fourth quarter when Charlotte's Malik Monk hit 4 3-pointers. The Hornets won 101-92. Rookie Kevin Knox led the Knicks with 19. In Boston, D'Angelo Russell scored 25, but the Nets' 6-game winning streak ended by the Celtics, 112-104. Celts won even without top scorer Kyrie Irving. 11 wins in a row for Golden State, 132-100. Blowout win at Indiana, 26 for Steph Curry, all but three coming in the first half. The big NBA story came yesterday morning. The agent for Pelican star Anthony Davis said his client will not sign a new contract, so if New Orleans wants something in return, it should trade him. He's not a free agent until after next season, so the indication is a trade won't be coming soon and not before the upcoming trade deadline. Hockey back from the All-Star break. Devils 6-3 win at Pittsburgh. Travis Sajak with a goal and 3 assists. Patriots and Rams met the media en masse in Atlanta. These two met in Super Bowl 36. The then St. Louis Rams were a 2-touchdown favorite, and a young Tom Brady had just recently become New England's starting quarterback.
I have a lot of memories from that week. Everything happened so quickly, but the most important thing I remember was that ball going through the uprights at the end and us winning and then celebrating. I remember that first year and couldn't imagine being Super Bowl champs, and to do it 17 years later with a new group of guys, and, you know, it means as much as ever. So hopefully our team's focused. We're going to need really a great week and then try to do our best to beat a great Rams team, but it's going to be tough.
Brady is 8 years older than the Rams coach, Sean McVay. Sunday he shoots for his sixth title and his ninth Super Bowl with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
Thank you, John. A new wave of football concussion lawsuits charges the NCAA and private universities with not protecting student-athletes from later life brain injuries. The cases target schools including Cornell, USC, West Virginia, the University of Virginia, Johns Hopkins, and Lehigh University, joining 110 other class complaints against the NCAA and football conferences. They could affect as many as 300,000 former players at 300 different colleges, according to the two law firms that are bringing these cases. That's coming up on 6:12 on Wall Street. Coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, we speak with Bloomberg's European News Director, David Merritt, ahead of two key votes on Brexit. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It's 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check at the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. China is urging the U.S. to revoke Huawei CFO Meng Wanzhou's arrest warrant and extradition request. The reaction came after the U.S. charged Huawei with bank and wire fraud, breaking Iran sanctions, and IP theft. Apple's forecast will be key when it reports today. The company is expected to show its first holiday quarter sales decline since the iPhone launched. FaceTime customers discovered a software bug that lets people listen in on other users. The iPhone glitch allows a user to call someone on FaceTime and automatically begin hearing the other person before they pick up the call. And PG&E is filing for bankruptcy protection with debt of $51.7 billion. The company faces more than $30 billion in costs from wildfires. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are down 1.5 points right now. Dow futures down 9, Nasdaq futures down 13. The DAX in Germany is up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.57%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.9% or 45 cents to $52.44 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.80 to $13.13.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1435, and the yen, 109.43. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, after a weekend of television news appearances, Roger Stone is set to appear before a federal judge who may look into silencing President Trump's longtime confidant. Stone is expected to plead not guilty in a Washington court today. The charge is that he lied to Congress and engaged in witness tampering in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. Meanwhile, Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker said that Mueller's investigation is close to being completed. In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Celtics 112-104. The Knicks lost, the Warriors won. On the ice, the Devils won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker. And live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. UK Prime Minister Theresa May could lose control of Brexit. We have some crunch votes in Parliament, maybe today. David Merritt is Bloomberg's European News Director. David has the unenviable task of trying to explain this to us this morning. Sounds like we have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. So let's start with C, because it sounds like there might be some sort of consensus developing.
That's right. C in this case probably stands for compromise. There's a plan being hatched amongst the warring factions of Mrs. May's own party to come up with a proposal that she can go back to Brussels. Two main parts of it. One is that they scratch this much disliked plan for the Irish border, the so-called Irish backstop, and the other one is to extend the transition period when Britain is technically out of the European Union but still sticking with all the rules and effectively in the single market. Just in the last few minutes, the DUP, the Northern Irish party that backs up Mrs. May's party, they've said they would get behind that compromise. So we'll see whether they get a vote on that tonight. If so, then Mrs. May finally will have perhaps a little bit of direction. She can go back to Europe with these plans. The problem with this plan C, though, is that whilst it may have the support of the Conservative Party, European leaders seem very unlikely to back it. The idea of reopening this withdrawal agreement after that's been negotiated over 18 months, they've said repeatedly they are refusing to do that. Mrs. May's betting that with the backing of Parliament, that may make them change their mind. But really, that's a big if at this point.
Now, is May behind Plan C?
Well, yes. And the Cabinet are actually meeting right now as we speak, and they're going to talk about whether or not they're going to give it official backing. What May has said is that she's behind a Plan B that was announced last night. That involves half of this suggestion, which is this really toxic question about the Irish backstop. She said she wants to back a proposal which would rewrite that part of the agreement. So she's kind of halfway there. We may get a readout from the Cabinet meeting in the next few minutes. She's going to stand up and speak in Parliament in a couple of hours' time as they start the afternoons of debates to tell us which way we're heading. But it is fairly extraordinary, this. We've had all this, for all this time, Mrs. May has been saying, this is the only agreement that is possible. I've negotiated it. Nothing can change. In the last 24 hours, she has effectively ripped up that position and said, I'm going to go back to Brussels if the party backs me and try to talk, reopen talks and get a whole new deal negotiated.
Okay, so that was 18 months of work for essentially nothing, I guess, for Mrs. May. So Plan C, I'm going to stick with that because that's the only one I can really wrap my head around at this point. That means a delay. Does that increase the chance of another referendum in the UK eventually, staying in the EU?
Well, actually, crucially, Plan C, and sorry to complicate things, doesn't include a delay of actually leaving on the 29th of March.
Okay.
There is another vote tonight on an amendment which would open the way to do that. This is the one that perhaps the markets and the more remaining side of the parties prefer. It's being proposed by a Labour opposition MP. That has a good chance also of succeeding tonight. And what that will do is delay or instruct the government to start delaying Article 50 to try to get an agreement or, if nothing possible, have another vote. So that is another outcome that's possible tonight. You may see Parliament deciding. In fact, what they want to do is put the whole process on ice. That is the option that is definitely more favorably viewed by the Europeans.
On ice for how long? On ice for how long, David?
Well, you know, that is a question that needs to be determined. So, you know, a few months. One big sticking point we have is the European elections that are happening in May. The European side, they don't really want Britain hanging around in the European Union beyond that because it really complicates matters of which MPs would sit in Parliament. So you could see them agreeing to a couple of months, but much further than that, it starts to get a little bit more complicated. Now, if Britain says we need a few months to have an election, to have another vote, they're pretty much going to agree to that because, you know, there's the chance in all of that that the entire Brexit process gets cancelled and Britain ends up staying in the European Union after all.
Does the guy in the pub, has his opinion changed of staying in the EU or not? I mean, if you had another referendum, would the vote change?
That is the big question. And you know, the polls as they stand at the moment show a bit of a swing towards Remain, but they're still within the margin of error. They're still around the sort of place they were in June 2016 before the vote. You know, Remain is a couple of points ahead. So if we run this vote again, what are the chances we get the same result or a pretty inconclusive result? Those are pretty high. That's a strong argument. The government says, look, okay, most people haven't changed their minds. What they want to do is get this issue solved. It's consumed all the oxygen in British political life for the last two years. Can we please get some sort of resolution?
Thanks, David. David Mayer, Bloomberg European News Director. I don't think we've heard the last of this. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, most likely not. Thank you, John. It is 6:25 on Wall Street. Stay with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. We'll get you caught up on all the latest market moving news, including the bankruptcy filing of PG&E, now official. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Tensions between the U.S. and China are flaring ahead of this week's trade talks, with prosecutors filing criminal charges against China's largest technology company, Huawei. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has the latest from Beijing.
The U.S. charges against Huawei are extensive. Bank and wire fraud, conspiracy to deceive U.S. banks, the theft of intellectual property from T-Mobile, and the offer of bonuses to employees to steal IP from U.S. rivals. The U.S. also officially requested the extradition of Huawei CFO Meng-Wen Zhou, currently on bail in Canada. In Beijing, I'm Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thank you. Another developing story we're following. PG&E, California's biggest power company, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The very latest on that from Bloomberg's John Tucker.
California's wildfires, Nate, have in the past saddled utilities with millions of dollars in damages, but never have the blazes exacted such a massive financial toll from a company. PG&E listed $51.7 billion in total debt. Since November's Camp Fire, PG&E has seen about three-fourths of its market value wiped out. Its stock is down about 6% of the pre-market. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Apple leads more than three dozen companies reporting earnings today, and we'll also get another reading on the chip sector from AMD. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
The report comes a day after NVIDIA fell the most in 2 months after cutting its outlook for fourth quarter revenue. Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say AMD's outlook remains solid and near-term product ramps are on schedule, but a misstep would punish the stock more than Intel. Last week, you recall, Intel's revenue and profit projections for the current quarter and the year fell short of analysts' average estimates. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And we do have some earnings crossing the Bloomberg now. We're hearing from Xerox, 3M, and Biogen. They're all reporting profit in the quarter that beat analyst estimates, and Biogen's forecast also beating. Nathan.
In the UK today, Karen, Theresa May faces two key votes, one on an amendment seeking to put Brexit on hold, the other an attempt to unite May's Conservative Party behind a plan to go back to the EU to renegotiate the divorce deal.
And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 3.5 points. Dow futures down 22. NASDAQ futures down 17. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield is at 2.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.58%. And the euro, $1.1431. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker says that he has been fully briefed on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election.
The investigation is, I think, close to being completed, and I hope that we can get the report from Director Mueller as soon as possible.
During a news conference, Whitaker also says he's comfortable that the decisions that were made are going to be reviewed. Whitaker did not elaborate, but a Justice Department official said later that he sought to convey that he'd follow department regulations regarding Mueller's closing documents. Longtime President Trump confidant Roger Stone is set to appear before a federal judge today. Stone is expected to plead not guilty in a Washington court to charges that he lied to Congress about pursuing dirt from WikiLeaks files on Hillary Clinton and engaged in witness tampering. The case stems from the Mueller investigation. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
I'm not aware of anybody here ever working with WikiLeaks in any capacity, but I do know that every individual that represents a media organization here looked for that information. Most of you reported on that information, so I think you're just as accountable as anybody else.
Earlier this week, Stone said he did not rule out cooperating with Mueller. The screws are likely to keep tightening on Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro as the U.S. presses its demand for a peaceful transition to a new president. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
With Maduro's refusal to relinquish his position and recognize Juan Guaido as Venezuela's new leader, National Security Advisor John Bolton says any retaliation against Guaido's government or U.S. diplomats will bring swift consequences.
Any violence against these groups would signify a grave assault on the rule of law and will be met with a significant response.
Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says severe sanctions on $7 billion in assets and over $11 billion in lost export proceeds are necessary.
The purpose of sanctions is to change behavior.
The officials concede that blocking Venezuelan oil may affect global prices. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Warnings and alerts have been posted as the Midwest braces for bitter cold temperatures. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, back in mid-December, the Knicks went to Charlotte and won in overtime to end a five-game losing streak. Since that win, the Knicks are 1-18. They were in Charlotte last night. The Hornets sent the Knicks to their 10th straight loss, 101-92. The Nets and Coach Kenny Atkinson lost in Boston, 112-104.
We struggled offensively. We didn't shoot the ball well on the whole game. And listen, I'm proud of our guys. You know, excellent team. Our guys gave it their all. We had, you know, cut it, got it close. Proud of how our guys played, how they competed.
The loss ends Brooklyn's six-game winning streak. 11 wins in a row now for Golden State, 132-100 at Indiana. The Warriors were already loaded. Now they've added Boogie Cousins. He scored 22 points. Golden State has not lost with him in the lineup. The Devils, just their sixth road win of the year, 6-3 at Pittsburgh. Second-ranked Duke crushed Notre Dame, 83-61. The freshman star Zion Williamson scored 26. Is this Patriots dynasty ever going to end? Tom Brady has shown no interest in retiring, although Rob Gronkowski has. And 31-year-old Montvale, New Jersey native Devin McCourty asked about retirement at Super Bowl media night in Atlanta.
I don't know for sure, man, but I do look at it, you know, if we can win this game, win it with my brother, I don't know, you know, what else I could do that'll top that. So I'm just trying to make sure I enjoy this season and I enjoy these last couple days with these guys.
It's his ninth year in the Patriots secondary, playing now with his twin brother, Jason. The Pats and the Rams getting ready for Super Bowl 53 on Sunday. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Coming up at 10 a.m. today, the Conference Board issues the Consumer Confidence Index. Economists forecast it dropped to 124 in December. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics notes the stock market and the government shutdown shaved almost 10 points in the confidence index in November and December. It's doubtful we'll see relief in today's data as the shutdown just ended and the stock market is down about 8% from January 2018. Case in point, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index fell last week to the lowest in almost 7 years. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
All right. Thank you, Vinny. Coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street. This week, the Pentagon plans to deliver a report to Congress to spell out plans to reduce spending by 25%. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Congress wants an overhaul of business practices and a reduction of wasteful spending.
What they consider these back office expenses and redundancies inside the Pentagon bureaucracy.
Bloomberg Government's Travis Tritton says it's unclear exactly where the cuts will be made, but there are nearly 30 agencies in field activities that could be impacted.
You know, you're talking about human resources and service contracting, logistics, real property management. So this is a variety of services that cut across the department.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. T-Mobile will defend its planned $26 billion merger with Sprint on Capitol Hill next month. CEO John Legere and Sprint chairman Marcelo Claure will go before a skeptical Democratic-controlled committee. The deal would reduce the U.S. wireless market to three carriers. It's coming up on 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Remember the Equifax breach? In late 2017, the credit reporting company revealed that hackers had stolen the personal data of more than 145 million people. A year and a half later, almost nothing has changed. Authorities have neither sanctioned Equifax nor addressed the industry-wide flaws that the incident exposed. It's an omission that Congress must correct. Equifax and its two main competitors, Experian and TransUnion, provide a valuable service. Yet because the people whose information they maintain are not their primary customers, the firms lack an incentive to ensure privacy and security. Congress should require that companies meet more ambitious benchmarks for data security and accuracy, streamline oversight of credit reporting, and give consumers the power to sue for relief. Credit reporting companies need a nudge from Congress to show that they can take responsibility for consumers' personal data. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. 6:40 is the current time on Wall Street, and FedEx founder and CEO Fred Smith is not going to be forced to step down later this year. The company's independent directors have agreed to have the mandatory retirement age of 75 apply only to directors who aren't company executives. Smith turned 75 in August. 4 years ago, the FedEx board took a similar step as Smith was approaching the then mandatory retirement age of 72. Futures on Wall Street pointed slightly lower. S&P futures down 2 points at the moment. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures down 14 points. That's a drop of 0.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we check in on the nation's capital with deals to be made on border security and China trade. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us straight ahead on Bloomberg Radio. Good morning.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
It's 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are little changed to lower. We get at the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are somewhat quiet right now, with Dow futures down 37 points, S&P's dropped 3, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 12. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.74%. Oil is trading higher, and Shanghai was a little changed overnight. European markets are climbing, led by 1% gains in the U.K. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10 o'clock, consumer confidence. And after the bell last night, Sanmina beat. Shares are up 20% pre-market. And Whirlpool fiscal year EPS missed the lowest estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, 3M cut its EPS forecast for the year. Biogen beat, and Pfizer sees the year 282 to 292. Estimate was 304. Shares down around 1.4% in the pre-market. Look for Verizon to report around 7 and Lockheed around 7:30. In other news, utility PG&E files for bankruptcy with more than $50 billion in debt. And wrapping things up, BlackRock was upgraded to buy over at Jefferies. NVIDIA downgraded to equate at Morgan Stanley, but upgraded to buy at UBS. Square was downgraded to underperform at Raymond James, and Applied Materials upgraded to outperform at RBC. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump's longtime confidant Roger Stone is due in court today following his arrest on charges of lying to Congress and obstruction. Stone will appear before a judge in Washington, D.C. in a case connected to special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. Forecasters say extremely cold temperatures could be life-threatening in parts of the Midwest. In Chicago, the low is forecast to fall to at least negative 21 degrees on Wednesday. A meteorologist with the Weather Prediction Center says it will be so cold that frostbite and hypothermia could occur in a matter of minutes, maybe seconds. In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Celtics 112-104. The Knicks lost. The Warriors won. On the ice, the Devils won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, It's one of the biggest privacy-related problems that is facing Apple's FaceTime. Users may be a bit distracted after customers discovered a software bug that lets people listen in on other users. Nathan, the glitch allows a user to call someone on FaceTime and automatically begin hearing the other person before they pick up the call.
Oh, well, from what I understand, this is when you try to conference in somebody into a two-way call, make it a more than a two-person call. I don't know how to do that. So no worries being, for me at least, being able to hear your calls before you pick up on FaceTime.
Well, I used to have dates in high school, and I would not that to be that, out at all.
That would not have been good, no.
No. I was a geek. Global News 24 hours a day on air. And don't pick up that call.
Nope.
And on TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries, Michael Barr. Don't answer it. This is Bloomberg.
All right. Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include House Speaker Nancy Pelosi inviting President Trump to deliver the State of the Union address February 5th, a week later than originally scheduled during the shutdown. Chinese Vice Premier Liu He arriving in Washington already for trade talks that the White House has called very, very important. Those talks begin tomorrow. And Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker saying Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation is close to being completed. Also making news this morning, the team that's tasked with cutting a deal on border security ahead of a potential second partial government shutdown is stacked with deal makers, not bomb throwers. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is here now with more on that. As I said, Kate, they've got less than 3 weeks to avoid another government shutdown. So what do we know about this bipartisan crew that's looking to avert that?
Well, I think that hopes are high that they're going to be able to reach some kind of a compromise. The group that's been put together in the House and the Senate is staffed with a lot of appropriators who are, you know, the members that usually have to come to bipartisan compromise in order to craft spending legislation. In fact, there's like an old saying in Washington that, you know, there's actually three parties, Republicans, Democrats, and appropriators. And so I think that there's a sense that these are folks that are seasoned negotiators, they're used to dealing with each other, they're used to striking deals, and nobody on either side really wants another shutdown. Now, that being said, the big X factor is President Trump, because he's still digging in on his position that he wants his money for his border wall. And that, as we know, is a non-starter with Democrats. So I think the question is whether or not the negotiators in Congress are able to kind of thread the needle and come up with something, perhaps something that includes fencing, which isn't strictly a wall, but is a border barrier that will be amenable to Trump and to his advisors.
So that's one potential source of compromise there, perhaps the semantic argument. Are there any other potential compromise points that that you're looking at here based on the makeup of this committee?
Well, I think a lot of the main issue here is over border security. Even Democrats, who are fierce advocates of, for instance, providing some sort of relief for the so-called Dreamers or a pathway to citizenship more broadly for, you know, those that might be in the country illegally. Even folks like Dick Durbin, who are big supporters of the Dreamers, are saying that they don't think that's really going to be feasible right now under this president. So I think folks are looking at somewhat of a potentially narrow compromise, but something that would focus probably on border security and, again, kind of find a way of getting around Democrats' opposition to a wall, but something that would pass muster with the president because it's, you know, border security focused, and perhaps dealing with fencing seems to be the thing that everybody's talking about at this point. But the question is whether or not Trump will accept that.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder whether the president is going to want to at least look more like he's pointing himself toward a deal ahead of the State of the Union address, so that he could have that to talk about before the joint session of Congress.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that the president would certainly want to, on one hand, be able to tout a deal ahead of the State or in the State of the Union address, which we now know is going to be held on February 5th. That's something that had to be delayed a week because of the government shutdown. I think that on the flip side, though, you know, this is an opportunity, I think, at least as the president views it, to speak to his base. And I think there's some concern in the White House that the president, is perhaps losing a bit of favor with his base because he did capitulate to Democrats and allowed the government to reopen without any promise of funding or funding for a border wall. And so I think that, the president may be looking to kind of balance the idea of having a deal in hand in time for the State of the Union with pressure to sort of reassure his base that he hasn't given up too much ground.
Let's move on to the news made yesterday by Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker saying that the special counsel investigation is almost close to being completed here. I guess we had indications of that given the amount of indictments that have been produced by Mueller's team, but it's not something that we've heard up to now from the Justice Department itself.
That's right. And I think that there's some concern out there because, you know, along with saying that the investigation is nearing completion, Whitaker made a comment that I think raised some eyebrows in Democratic circles, at least even in Republican circles, that potentially, you know, he was going to review the findings before they were released. And I think there was concern about whether or not review was going to mean that he was going to, in fact, potentially alter or keep under wraps portions of whatever it is that Mueller comes up with. I think there's been that concern from the get-go, given that Whitaker was very, very vocally opposed to the Mueller probe prior to being installed as the acting attorney general. And so I think that this is certainly something that's back in the forefront of people's minds as a concern and something that could have implications for William Barr's nomination to be the, you know, more permanent attorney general, which is working its way through the Senate right now.
And something we'll be watching as Trump confidant Roger Stone heads back to court today to formally face charges in special counsel Mueller's probe. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks so much for this. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder that you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Hi, Karen. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo hopes to end his state's role as the nation's collections department for predatory loans to small businesses. In his annual message to the state legislature, Cuomo promised to submit legislation to curtail the use of confessions of judgment. The confessions are legal instruments that allow lenders to seize the assets of small business borrowers without notice or a court hearing. The merchant cash advance industry, which lends money at rates that can exceed 400% annualized, has been filing confessions in New York State courts to target delinquent borrowers nationwide. The companies have won more than 25,000 judgments in New York since 2012. Now, the governor would prohibit confessions for small business loans smaller than $250,000, as well as ones that don't have a connection to New York. His proposal cites a story in Bloomberg Businessweek that described abuses in the use of confessions by the industry. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And we are watching shares of some of the companies that just reported earnings this morning. Pfizer, for example, currently down more than 2% in early trading. Its outlook for the year missing analyst estimates. 3M is down almost 2%. It cut its forecast for the year. Xerox moving higher, up 3.5% after its forecast beat analyst estimates. And Biogen's profit forecast for the year beat as well. Harley Davidson's fourth quarter profit missing analyst estimates, those just crossing the Bloomberg. Futures this morning are little changed. S&P futures down a point, Dow futures down 14, NASDAQ futures down 6. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.